The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
My next guest is a nervous playwright, poet and lecturer in University College Dublin. She has a brand new play out as part of the Dublin Fringe Festival. It's called Baby. It explores the concept of having children, the pressure that people feel and the barriers that can stand in the way. And the reason that Leanna O'Hara is nervous is because her play is currently in rehearsals. And what, this Thursday you're going to go in and see how it's going?
Yeah, so I'd prefer to use excited rather than nervous.
So you've yet to see what a director, because I assume the director can have a significant influence in changing that which is on the page, and not the words, but the way it's interpreted.
Yeah, of course. But luckily, like, I've worked with Liam Halligan before, and like, I fully trust him. So I know that the play is in good hands. And I've seen bits of it, of course. Like, I've been in rehearsals, like, I've seen bits of it, but I haven't seen the full thing.
And progress was good.
Yes, yeah. I have a brilliant actor as well, so that helps a lot.
The themes that you are exploring are the kind of peer pressure, social pressures, methodologies, routes to have a baby. The genesis of it was what?
A lot of people in my surroundings, and including myself, are of an age where we feel the clock is ticking in terms of having babies or having a baby. And I think, so the play actually, it started with an image of a woman breaking eggs into a bowl. And then that turned into a play about fertility and a woman baking a cake on stage. And I think for me, so I have gone to fertility clinics myself with my ex-partner, who's a woman as well. And so we were thinking of having a baby, but we had no sperm. So we went to a fertility clinic and I was quite surprised by how difficult it is to have a baby when you're not in a like heterosexual couple, let's say, in terms of legislation and kind of the people have sex, right? People have sex all the time. People make babies all the time. And so I think because of that, it kind of feels like it's something for granted almost, just like, for my parents' generation, they would have taken for granted that at one point they would own their home or they would at least have a house to live in, which for my generation is not like that at all. And so I was just surprised by how difficult it actually is.
And what were the difficulties that you found?
I just remember in like the first intake, with one of the doctors, I was asked, like, I had to talk to a solicitor, talk to a psychologist. And then in the first, like, consultation with the doctor, she said to me, but you understand it, this is a really big step. And I was like, well, yeah, it's a baby. Like, I have thought about this before. Like, I didn't wake up this morning thinking, do you know what I'll do?
Do you think that was particularly said to you by virtue of being in a lesbian couple, or do you think that's the case for every woman who goes through that kind of treatment?
That's a good question, actually. It might be both. Like, I only have that one experience of going there with my ex-girlfriend. But of course, like, you know, IVF, IUI, like all of like assisted human reproduction, like it's not easy. Like, I haven't gone through IVF personally. Because that relationship ended, and with that, like that, the having a baby together idea as well. And it is something really heavy, of course, and there's a lot of distress involved in it as well. But I feel like it's, if people in heterosexual relationships can just have children like that, why is it made so difficult if you need help? Do you know what I mean? And I feel like that's with like the new legislation as well, the bill that was passed in June, it does facilitate assisted human reproduction for a lot of people, but still excludes a lot of people as well. And also, so the HSC provides publicly funded IVF right now, but only if you're in a straight couple. So if you need donor sperm or donor eggs, you're not eligible.
And stop me if this is too personal, but did your desire to have a child wane when the relationship ended? Or was it that without the relationship, you weren't in a setting where you could have a child or felt it appropriate to have a child, but the desire was the same?
Oh, desire is still very much there. Yeah. And I think that, so that's why it's interesting for me with this play as well, because the character is a single woman in her late 30s. And I am in a similar position myself. It's like, I would very much like to have a baby. And it's not as easy as you might think. And I think that's what, like, her journey in the play is very much exploring that as well. And it's like, how will I go about this? Will I go, you know, like her friends are suggesting, just go to a sperm bank. It's like, but it's a big decision. Do you know, it's like, it's also, and it kind of ties into me for, yeah, into like my body, my choice. Like, a lot of people have a lot of opinions about your body.
Do they?
Yes, I think. Well, especially women's bodies, actually. I think for men it's a bit different. But when it comes to reproductive rights, whether that's not the choice to not have a baby or the choice to have a baby, everyone has something to say.
Give me a sense of the kind of things and the kind of people who have opinions.
I think everyone. Like, that's what, so Camilla, the character in the play as well, like her friends, she's kind of stressing about, how am I going to do this? I really want to have a baby. I don't have a partner. I'm not, well, like, what should I do? And then one of her friends is like, just go to a sperm bank. And it's like, just like that. Like, can I not decide for myself to put, you know, what I'm putting inside my uterus? Like,
And what about social and peer pressures? Because I assume as well, it's a bit like that thing where you're in your late 20s and suddenly you discover you're at weddings every 3 weeks. I assume there is an element of that as well, where at a certain stage in life, people begin to ask the question whether or not it's appropriate to ask, oh, are you planning to have kids?
Yeah, and I think that's really interesting as well, because, like, I spent most of my life trying not to get pregnant, as a lot of women, I think. And then suddenly you find yourself in a position where everyone around you is having babies and you're like, oh, I'm not allowed to swear on the radio, sorry. So I'm like, whoops. And it's not, it is kind of like the fear of missing out, and also like having a baby just to fit in or just to be part of your like baby trend group is not a good reason to have a child. But the desire is still very much there, you know, and I feel like it is, it's unspoken peer pressure almost. It's not as if people are really asking you, like, so, you know, when are you going to get pregnant or when are you going to have a child? But it's kind of maybe like a pressure that you feel and internalize, in, as in, like, I should really take these steps right now. And I think it's interesting because I meet over the last while, like, I've met quite a few people who have had children in their 40s. But I, like, my generation, I think we were still told that, you know, basically by the time you're 30, like, that's kind of the cutoff point. You have to hurry up, like.
How does that factor in, both in terms of your the themes in the play and your own life? That thing of the biological reality of timing that applies for women but not for men, does that add a layer of pressure, difficulty, stress?
Yeah, I think for men, of course, it's very different because there's no expiry date. Well, there is, but it's a lot later. Like, so personally, I don't. Any man who gives me advice on what to do with my womb, I don't really take serious. I don't think they have a say in that.
Do men give you advice on what to do with your womb?
Everyone. It's like, because things come up in conversation, you know. So it's like, why don't you just keep your opinions to yourself? Sorry, what was I going to say?
I was asking you whether or not the pressure of time applied, whether it was a significant weight to bear, either in character terms in the play or in, as you're saying, so much of this is related to your own situation, and your own situation is an issue.
Yeah, I think as well. It's hard as well, like, you know, in conjunction with other things, whether that's like a career or looking for relationships or a relationship, really. And I think that, like, that's present in the play as well, where she, you know, she's like, okay, so maybe, you know, the next logical step to have a baby is to go on dates. So I'll go on a dating app and I'll go on dates and I'll see if I can find a partner. But you can't be bringing up babies on the first date. People don't like that. I've tried.
This is quite forward. So to what extent was writing, because as you say, there is an overlap between themes in your life, themes in the play. To what extent was writing this and putting it up on stage either cathartic or reflective from your perspective? Did it give you a change of perspective or insight once you get it out and into a third person, into a fictional character?
Yes, I think cathartic is an interesting choice of words. And I was actually saying this to my students yesterday, that some people say, oh yeah, writing's like therapy. It's not. You write and then you need therapy. I think I love writing, don't get me wrong, but it's not like, I like cathartic, I don't know. I feel like I got to like explore a lot more what my thoughts actually were. Right, I think when I started writing it, there was an aspect of anger or like, you know, feeling of like injustice or it's not fair. And I think that gradually kind of went away as I was writing the play, because it's like, you know, there's a lot of people in difficult situations when it comes to fertility and infertility. And like my, you know, that's the other thing, like my position is a specific one, and I can't compare that to someone else who has gone through IVF or who has tried, or someone who, you know, is consciously deciding to have a baby on her own. And I feel like the writing kind of allowed me to give voice to all of those thoughts. Does that?
You talked about earlier on the amount of advice that you are given and the kind of decisions that you're weighing up in respect of having a baby. It is none of my and our business what decision you have reached. Have you reached a final conclusion as to what you're going to do?
I like how you say it's none of your business, but I'm going to ask you anyway. I have decided for myself now that I would be happy to have a child on my own. And it's not so much a decision out of like necessity, but I would be, you know, I'd be happy to go forward with something like that, to be a single mom by choice, as they call it. But I do think, I know quite a lot of single mothers, and I also think that it's, you know, a lot easier when there is someone else there. And I would ideally like to do it with somebody else, but I also feel like I can't, or I don't want to wait for that.
Well, undoubtedly the themes, because it is themes like that and beyond, they are themes that will apply to an awful lot of people, in an awful lot of individuals, an awful lot of couples who are in the similar position. The play is Baby. It's part of the Dublin Fringe Festival. It's going to be performed at the New Theatre in Temple Bar from September 17th to the 21st. And first major rehearsal this Thursday. So fingers crossed that it all goes well. Leanna O'Hara, playwright, poet and lecturer in UCD. Thank you very much. By the way, if anything in relation to what we were talking about had an emotional impact on you, you can, of course, contact the Samaritans helpline on 116 123.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.